If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 this morning. Philippians chapter 2, and I'd like to read a few verses starting in verse 5 and then on through verse 11. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come to you deeply aware of how much we need you today. These days have driven us to our knees in ways that we've seldom experienced. These days have made us miss each other. These days have made us miss being in your presence. Father, these days have taken a lot from us. Show us, Father, by your word this morning. Show us what it means to enter into that poverty so that we might meet you there. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to hear and understand these marvelous things you've laid out for us in your word. May your Spirit, who dwells in us, do his work of applying these words to our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I think it's fair to say that these last several weeks, as our nation has struggled to deal with this pandemic and all the fallout over it, we've all seen our lives upended in ways we never would have imagined just a couple months ago. Aside from the obvious concerns over protecting our health and the health of the people that we love, we really have seen this coronavirus pandemic take a lot of things from us, haven't we? In our own family, we've been talking about all the ways we've been affected, all the things that we've lost because of the shutdown. Caleb was set to go on an honor society trip to Italy this month. That was one of the first things that got canceled. Levi probably won't have a high school graduation ceremony. If he does, going to be late. And he's missing out on his last season to play soccer with his friends. Hannah's volleyball club tournaments and practices were canceled. Selah's baton class was canceled. She's trying to take lessons via Zoom for baton. I mean, every one of us these days could just go down the list, couldn't we? Vacations canceled, weddings postponed or drastically altered, family get-togethers and celebrations all curtailed. Things that are really important to us that have simply been taken away. Now, in the grand scheme of things, losing out on a family vacation or not having a graduation ceremony may not be the most drastic loss in the world, but when they're important to you, it's still a loss that you feel greatly. In some very real ways, we're getting a taste of poverty in our lives, aren't we? I mean, think about it. A poor person has a lot fewer options. A poor man can't do what he wants. He can't see who he wants, can't even eat where he wants. He's limited by money. We're all of us kind of being forced into a kind of impoverishment these days. We can't meet together and worship the way we want. We can't always get the groceries that we want. And when we do go to the store, we can't even walk down the aisles the way that we want, can we? I mean, we can't go where we want to go or do what we want to do. And it's beginning to cause us to get increasingly frustrated with the whole situation. We're getting tired of the confinements and restrictions that this impoverishment is imposing on us. And it's beginning to show in the demonstrations that have been boiling up at state capitals across the country, especially Michigan not too long ago. People are getting angry because their rights are being taken away and they want them back. But what if God has something else in mind for his people these days? As Christians, we confess and we believe that God is in total control of this pandemic. Every movement and mutation of this virus, every person that falls ill, every person that recovers, every person that succumbs, every job that is lost, every GPA that suffers, every sports season that's canceled, every opportunity that's taken away, all of it is superintended and decreed by the eternal counsels of an all-wise, all-powerful, righteous, and holy Creator who has promised that all things will work together for the good of those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Christian, for you, that means even the COVID-19 shutdown. So what if everything that you have lost, everything that you're continuing to lose as a result of this shutdown, what if all the restrictions, all of the confinements, all of the impoverishment that you've suffered is God's invitation to a deeper and more intimate life in Jesus Christ? What if all of these losses could be a source of real joy instead of frustration for you? What if this could all be a source of peace for you instead of anxiety? What if you really could say with the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, 7 and 8, that whatever gain you have, you count as loss for the sake of Christ? Indeed, counting everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, your Lord. So how do we get there? How do we go from frustration over losing these things that mean so much to us, being frustrated and anxious over the limitations imposed on us, from there to joyful giving them up? Joyfully giving them up because they're nothing but a pile of rubbish compared to knowing Christ. I believe that these verses before us this morning here in Philippians 2 hold a key for us to be able to do just that. So what I aim to demonstrate for you this morning from Philippians chapter 2 is that embracing our poverties leads to the richness of our union with Christ. Embracing our poverties leads to the richness of our union with Christ. And as we approach these verses, the first thing we come to understand is that Jesus Christ was impoverished far more in his incarnation than you and I could ever comprehend. Look with me starting at verse 5 in Philippians 2. Have this mind in yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. See, you and I are to have the same mind about our impoverishments and restrictions that Jesus did. These verses call us to join Christ in his emptiness. Do you see? To join Christ in his emptiness. Think of it for a moment. Just think back over the past several weeks. Is there anything that you have lost? Any impoverishment or restriction or confinement that you suffered that comes even close to the confinement that Jesus Christ experienced when he came to earth as a human being? You see, when we embrace our impoverishments, we join Jesus in that experience. We get to have the same mind as he did, to know just a taste of the impoverishment that he willingly suffered. See, the original word that's translated there, a thing to be grasped, in verse 6, has the idea of something that you hold on to because it's rightfully yours. Joining Christ in his emptiness means that you give up what is rightfully yours. Think of it. Jesus deserved all of the rights and privileges of his deity. He absolutely deserves the power and glory and authority and honor of God. But this passage says that he voluntarily gave up that glory. Now, it's important to note here, very important to understand, that this passage does not mean that Jesus gave up being God when he emptied himself. It does not mean that he emptied himself of being God. It means that he gave up the rights and privileges of being God. He gave up the rights and privileges that were lawfully his. He deserved worship, honor, glory, and power, and he voluntarily gave all that up when he came to earth and was impoverished as a human. Christian, when you lose the rights and privileges that are genuinely yours, when you have those things taken away from you, instead of grasping at them and struggling, hey, that's mine, give me that back, instead of doing that, you voluntarily give them up. You are joining Jesus Christ in his emptiness. And you are entering into the richness of a deeper union with him. You get to have the same mind as Christ in your impoverishment. Joining Christ in his emptiness means that you willfully give up what is rightfully yours, and it means that you give up what glorifies you. You give up what glorifies you. Again, we said this, Jesus deserved honor and glory and obedience and authority and praise. He deserved all of it. But instead of that, what did he receive here on earth? He received hatred. He received abuse. He received scorn and ridicule. During one memorable exchange with the Jewish religious leaders, when they were openly accusing him of being a demon-possessed Samaritan, he answered, "I do not have a demon. I honor my Father. You dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge." John 8, 49 and 50. Did you catch it? Let me read it again in verse 54. Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me." See, Jesus voluntarily gave up the things that would glorify him. Instead of seeking his own glory, he left it to his heavenly Father to glorify him when he decided. Now, think of this for a moment. Think in your own life, what glories has this pandemic taken away from you? What things have you had taken away that contribute to your sense of self-worth? Things that cut really close to who you are as a person. One of our students at Christian Student Fellowship at Penn State came to campus to play softball. She came and played one game at Myrtle Beach over spring break, and her whole season got canceled out from under her. A lot of our students have struggled greatly over the switch to online classes this semester. Their GPA will probably suffer, and for a lot of students, that's a real impact on their self-esteem. So I ask you again, what has this pandemic taken from you that you glory in? Things that make you feel good about yourself, things that make you feel worthy in your own eyes or on others' eyes, or even things that make you feel worthy in God's eyes. You see, instead of clinging to these things, instead of fretting and chomping at the bit because they're lost to you right now, you embrace those losses, those poverties, because losing them means that you're able to join Christ in his emptiness. You're being given an opportunity to do what Jesus did, to walk in his steps the way he did, to give up what is rightfully yours, give up what glorifies you, so that you may receive the riches of union with him, of intimacy with him, a close walk with Jesus that you wouldn't have had otherwise. See, your poverties are God's invitation to join Christ in his emptiness. And they are his invitation to join Christ in his obedience. To join Christ in his obedience. We see that in verse 8 of Philippians 2. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. See, when you voluntarily give up the things that you glory in, when you embrace the humbling that comes with the impoverishment of this lockdown, it is the way that, like Jesus, you die to your self-worth. You die to your self-worth. Jesus not only humbled himself by giving up the rights and privileges of being God, he went even further. He humbled himself to the point of the most humiliating, mortifying, and excruciating death of all, death on a cross. And as you suffer the loss of the things that you lean on for your self-worth, as it seems that all of those things are being taken away from you one by one, you have the opportunity to die to all those reasons to boast in yourself. Did you catch that? This gives you the opportunity to die to all of those reasons that you have for boasting in yourself. When all of those things are gone, you are free to be able to say with Paul in Galatians 6, he says, "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Christian, when all of your reasons for boasting in yourself are taken away, you can't stand on your good academic record anymore. You can't stand on your athletic season anymore. You can't stand on your impressive job anymore or your comfortable income anymore. When you can't boast in any of those things, you're free to boast in Jesus. You're free not to boast in what you've made of yourself. You're free to boast in what Jesus has made of you. Joining Jesus in his obedience means that you die to your self-worth, and it means that you die to your self-will. You die to your self-will. We talked earlier about how all of these restrictions and confinements are causing people to become increasingly frustrated and embittered. You can't go where you want to go. You can't do what you want to do. And I'm sure you've had that experience several times over the past several weeks, haven't you? I mean, your favorite restaurant is closed. It doesn't offer delivery. You can't get all the ingredients you want at the grocery store. You can't visit family and friends. You can only meet for Bible study through a silly Zoom meeting that you can't figure out how to make it work. Those frustrations may be even more intense. Maybe you've been laid off and you're blowing through your savings far more quickly than you can afford. Or you have an elective surgery that's been canceled, or you're in a high-risk category and you really can't get out of the house for anything. See, in all of these impoverishments, whether they're big or small, the problem at the root of them is the fact that you can't do what you want to do. And you have to do stuff you don't want to do, right? And that's inside us. Our self-will insists on having its own way. I want what I want, and I want it now, right? See, I'm convinced that everything that's happening to us in these restrictions and confinements, this is all God's gracious invitation to us to die to that self-will, just as Jesus did. Think back to the night that Jesus was betrayed. He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. At this moment, he knew the crucifixion was coming. He knew that he was about to be tortured beyond human comprehension under the wrath of Almighty God for the sins of his people. And he did not want to do it. Everything in him recoiled in horror from what was about to happen to him. He saw the cup his father had prepared for him. And what did he pray in Luke 22:42? He said, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Not my self-will, but your will, God, be done." Christian, when you can look at the cup your father has prepared for you during this pandemic, when you can see the loss of your job and your income, when you can see the loss of your freedom and the things you depend on for your self-worth, when you can see all of those things being taken away from you, and you say, Father, not my will, but yours be done, it sets you free. It sets you free from your anxiety and frustration. When you accept that all of these losses are coming from His hand, you die with Jesus to your self-will, and you enter into a union with Him in a way that you never have before. What losses have you suffered during this pandemic? What impoverishments have you suffered? Sit down this week. Make some time to sit down and just write them all out. Make a list one by one. Loss of family income. Cancellation of our vacation. Sports season canceled. Grade suffering. Ministry opportunities canceled. Whatever they might be. And when you have them all written out, everything that you can think of, write at the bottom these words. Received in full from the hand of my heavenly Father and accepted by me with your signature and the date. Turn it into an actual receipt that says, I accept these impoverishments from my Father in heaven and I embrace them for the sake of greater intimacy and union with Christ. And if you have to update that list again next week, do it again next week. And again, and again, and again, as long as this new reality lasts. And the great and glorious hope that you have, Christian, is that this new reality, this dying to your self-will and dying to your self-worth, it's like every other death in the Christian life. Because every death in the Christian life is followed by a resurrection. Every death in the Christian life is followed by a resurrection. Think of it. The normal pattern of the Christian life is dying and rising with Jesus. It is the everyday of your life, Christian. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again so that you and I could be delivered from the penalty and power of our sin. And when you were baptized, you demonstrated your death with Christ to sin, and you're being raised to newness of life in Him. Death and resurrection, it's the normal pattern of the Christian life. So why should this death be any different? Christian, if you have joined Jesus Christ in His emptiness, if you have joined Him in His obedience to death to self-worth and death to self-will, then it is as certain as can be that you will join Christ in His resurrection. You will join Christ in His resurrection. Look at verses 9 and 10 of Philippians 2. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. When you have joined Christ in His emptiness, freely giving up what is rightfully yours, giving up what glorifies you, when you join Him in His obedience to death, dying to your self-worth and to your self-will, then all of those impoverishments and weaknesses and confinements will no longer be a source of shame and anger and frustration for you. You will be free to boast in your weakness. You'll be free to boast in your weakness. You'll be able to say with Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9 that you will boast all the more gladly of your weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon you. This is the question, the answer to the question that we asked earlier. Here's how we can say that whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. See, I don't know what the resurrection on the other side of this pandemic will look like. I don't know what it'll look like in my own life. I don't know what it'll look like in the life of the church or the life of our community or our state or our nation. I don't know what the state of that resurrection is going to look like in your life, because these things are in God's hands, not ours. But we know that new life is coming. And when we embrace these ways that we're dying to our self-worth and self-will, We're entering into a new intimacy, a new closeness with Jesus Christ. We'll be able to say with Paul in Philippians 3, 10 and 11, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Think of this. When you receive these impoverishments and restrictions as from the hand of your Father, an invitation to enter into fresh intimacy and closeness with Jesus Christ, having his mind in you, these losses, these restrictions, these shutdowns, they will no longer restrict you. They'll be a source of delight for you. You'll be able to say, nope, can't go where I want to. I can't do what I want to do. I can't go to work. I can't go to school. But these losses enabled me to live out the gospel story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have the opportunity in these impoverishments, you have the opportunity to be just like Jesus, giving up the things that are rightfully yours, taking this cup from the hand of your heavenly Father, entering into death to yourself and your self-will so that you may be raised to a new life of glory in your weakness and glorifying the name you bear. You can glorify the name that you bear. In his first letter to the churches, the Apostle Peter writes to a group of people who were coming under an increasing amount of persecution for their faith. So he writes to them to encourage them to stand firm and trust God during the trials and tribulations that were coming their way. He says in 1 Peter 4:16, "If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." Now, in that letter, Peter was talking about suffering persecution for our faith. But surely we can apply this same exhortation to the suffering we find ourselves in during this pandemic. We are called to glorify God by the way we bear the name of Christian. You are called to glorify God by the way you bear the name Christian. And when you have traded the anxiety and fearfulness and frustration of these days with peace and contentment of knowing what kind of story you are in and where you are in that story, that there's a resurrection coming. You're going down into death now, but the resurrection is coming. When we're able to say to our Heavenly Father, "Father, it's not my will right now, but yours be done." And we accept these hardships from his hand. When every fresh hardship of illness, collapsing economy, restriction of our liberties that comes upon us brings us fresh reasons to rejoice, because it's another invitation to move deeper into intimacy with our Savior. When our faces grow brighter as the days grow darker, the world around us will look at us and say, "Surely God is with these people. Show us this peace you have that passes all our ability to understand." Christian, this is the treasure that you have today. The richness hidden in your COVID-19 poverties. So embrace the losses that you face. See in them an invitation from your Heavenly Father to experience fresh intimacy and union with Jesus Christ as you join him in his emptiness, join him in his obedience, and join him in his resurrection. And if you're listening today and you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, and you have no treasure in him, you have no way of drawing near to him, there is no promise that any death will be followed by new life for you. In fact, your position is the exact opposite. Every life is followed by nothing but death. Eternal death apart from the presence of God under his eternal wrath in hell. But you have a chance today. You can make this the day when you die with Jesus Christ to your sin. Confess that you are a sinner and hopelessly condemned before God. Tell him that you are trusting in his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins, and cry out to him to save you. These are uncertain days. You don't know when you may ever have this opportunity again. So don't put it off. Don't wait another moment. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. You pray with me. Our Father, help us to see the gift that you're giving us during this shutdown. The gift that you're giving us of taking away the things that we lean on for our self-esteem and our self-worth so that we can turn only to you. Help us to see the gift that you're giving us, an invitation to walk alongside Jesus as he emptied himself, gave up all his rights and privileges as God. Father, I pray that you would help us to see what a gift this is, that we can enter into that impoverishment and know Jesus through this, and to walk with him, to have his same mind through these things. Father, strengthen us, I pray, the days ahead, whatever they hold. Hold on to us as we hold on to your promises. Thank you, Father, for this great invitation we have to be enriched by our poverties, to walk through the door of these impoverishments into greater intimacy and union with our Savior Jesus Christ. Give us a taste of that. Give us a glimpse of that glory this week, I pray. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, and amen.